Be'ez Hashem Yisboch, we begin Perek Shishti, the sixth chapter in the Dam's Hilchos Melachim, Laws of Kings, in the Sefer Shoftim Book of Judges, which continue the theme of the previous Perek, which opened up the discussion of the fighting of the wars, which in this Perek we discuss actually how to conduct and wage a war. That's Ram against Halacha regarding subduing the enemy. In Oysin Melchameim Odom Be'olam, one does not wage a war with any person in the world, at Shekarin Leishalom, until you first call out to him in peace. Whether it's an optional war, whether it's a mitzvah war that we spoke about in the previous parak. So like it says in the pasuk in the bottom, when you're going to come near to a city to wage war in it, and you're going to first call out in peace. If they make peace, and they accept the seven Noahid laws that the non-Jews are obligated in, we do not kill any soul, and they're taken as taxes. Shenem, like it says in the pasuk, you l'chol hamas, they should be for you to pay taxes, v'abaducha, and they're going to serve you. Kiblo le'em hamas, v'le kiblo abdis. Let's say they accept to be paying their tax, but v'le kiblo abdis, they don't accept the servitude. Or shekiblo abdis, or they accept the servitude, v'le kiblo hamas, but they don't accept the taxes. In shablam, we don't listen to them. At shekab l'shnem, until they accept both of them. Now, v'abdis, shekablohu, what is the servitude that they have to accept? She'u nivzim u'shvalim l'mata, they have to be disgraced and humbled on the bottom. They shouldn't lift their heads up high amongst the Jewish people. Rather, they should be subdued beneath them. They shouldn't be appointed amongst the Jewish people for any appointment for anything in the world. And the taxes that they accept, that they should be prepared to do the service of the king with their bodies and with their finances. Like, for example, building the walls and fortifying the fortresses and building the palace of the king. Okay, it's very similar things, like it says in the Pasuk by Shloima HaMelech in Malachim Aleph, that it says, and this is the thing of the taxes that Shehel HaMelech Shloimei, that the king Shloimei had brought up, Libnis is based Hashem to build the house of Hashem, that's basically in his own house, Ve'es HaMiloi and the Miloi, Ve'es Chemes Yerushalayim, Ve'goyim and the wall of Yerushalayim, etc. Ve'es Kol Orei HaMiskin, Ve'es HaShohei Yerushalayim, Ve'goyim and all the storehouses of those cities that were for Shloimei HaMelech, etc. Kol Oma HaNoisim and HaMoyer, Ve'goyim and all the people that are left over from the HaMoyeri, Ve'yalim Shloimei LaMas Oivet, Adoyim HaZeh, and Shloimei brought them up to be as a servitude of taxes up until this day. But from the Jewish people, Shlomo Melech did not make them as slaves. Those are the people that fight as wars, and his servants, and his ministers, and their captains, and the ministers of his chariots and of his horsemen. Now, the king could stipulate with them that will take half their money, either their properties, leave them all the movable items, or take the movable items and leave them the properties, and that's what it means, half their monies, whatever it is that they stipulate. Now it's forbidden to lie with the covenant and to go ahead and deceive them. After they did make peace and they accepted seven Noahide laws, one is not allowed to go ahead and go against that truth. Now, v'im loy hishlimu, but let's say they didn't make peace. Oy hishlimu, or they said we'll make peace, but v'le kiblu shav mitzvahs, but they didn't accept the seven Noahide laws. Then oysim imal mechama. Then they make war with them. V'hogin kol hascharim hagadolim. They kill all the adult males. Uvoizim kamamoyim etabim, and they plunder all their money and all their children. V'ein hargan ishav lekotim, but we don't kill the women nor the children. Shem like says in the pasuk in Devarim, hanoshim v'hataf, the women and the young children, and the pasuk concludes, and the animals and whatever they have in the city that you plunder for yourself. Zetaf shal zacharim, that's the young males. B'med v'mer, when we say this, that you leave over the women and the young children, is b'chemes reshus, is by an optional war. Shehu im shar umis, which is with other nationalities. Avashiv amam and b'amalik shaloi hishlima, but if the people of b'amalik or from the seven nations, they don't make peace, then we don't keep alive any one of their souls. Shnomek says in the pasuk, "Kain tasa l'chol v'goyim esoti shtu ba'ol etc." Rak me'ori am v'goyim, only from the cities of the peoples etc. L'isachay kol neshama. When it talks about the seven nations, we don't keep alive any one of their souls. V'chinoyim b'malik soto says regarding Amalek, "Timche azeich Amalek, you should wipe out the memory of Amalek." Now, menayin she'inu medabe el be'elu shloishlima. Now, how do we know that we're not talking about only by these, that they didn't make peace, that only there you would totally wipe them out? Shnema, like it says in the pasuk in Yeshua, it says Lahoisa ir, there was no city Asher Shlima al Bnei Yisrael that made peace with the Jewish people. Built the Achivi Yeshvi Givon, except for the Achivi who were living in Givon, All of that they took in war, because it was from God. To strengthen their heart, towards the war of the Jewish people, to wipe them out. So the inference is that they sent them peace and they didn't accept. So in other words, the main point was shalohishlimu. The Rambam was asking, how do we know that this halacha was only said if they don't make peace? How do you know that you're not supposed to just wipe out the seven nations, as it sounds like from the pasuk, and not leave any of them alive? So Rambam says, no, I'll prove it to you from busting Yeshua that they first sent them peace and they didn't accept. That's where they wiped them out. But if they would accept, then they wouldn't wipe them out, even from the seven nations of Eretz Canaan. Halacha continues regarding with the letters that Yeshua sent and regarding the deception of those who lived in Givon. Like we said, Bilti Achibi Yeshua Givon. There were three letters that Yeshua sent until they didn't come into the land of Eretz Yisrael. The first letter he sent to the people of Canaan was, whoever wants to run away, Yivrach, should run away. Then he sent the second letter, whoever wants to make peace, Yashem should make peace. Then he sent the third letter, whoever wants to wage war, Yashem should wage war. So then, came the question is, if that's the case, Memnema Hardimo Yeshua Given. So why did the settlers of Given go ahead and deceive the Jewish people and lie and say they were coming from some distant land, and then they went and made peace, and the Jewish people didn't realize that really they're one of the people of the seven nations, but according to what we're explaining, they could have just made peace and saved themselves. The reason is, because they sent to the land of Canaan in general, and the general consensus of the population didn't accept. They didn't know the Jewish law. They thought, that's it, they're not going to open up for peace anymore. So, then the question goes the other way. So why was it so difficult for the leaders of the Jewish people that they got deceived over here? And they saw that it was fit really to kill them by the sword, if not for the fact that they had already sworn, and therefore they were stuck, so to speak, with them. What do you mean? What was so problematic if really they wanted to make peace? The reason is, they should cause them bris. Because they made a covenant with them, which is that they should have halachas as like residents, as equal people. But and the pasuk says in Devarim, leisichas lembris, don't make a covenant with them. Because really, yeah, if they would make peace, they would have to be for servitude and for taxes. But now they were going to be like regular free people. Now since the oath was really in error, they thought it was some distant land, some other nation, other nationality that they weren't going to have any war with, and therefore they're not obligated in any taxes and servitude. But really, they should have killed them because they misled them. If not for the desecration of God's name, the nations are going to say that, look, they desecrated their oath, these Nasim, the leaders of the Jewish people, they're not going to know that the oath really never took effect because it was an error, and that's why they were upset about the situation that happened, even though they technically could have made peace, but then they would have been servants and had to pay taxes. Allah Chavav. Amin Amayev, regarding the people of Amin Amayev, in Shechelam Lashon, we don't send them for peace first, to make up, as we said, they could even do for the seven nations. Kishnemach says the pasuk, "Lisidre shlemim, don't seek their peace, but tevasim kol yemecha, and all their good, all your days." The sages said, "Lafishim," because it says in the pasuk, "Vekardase leil l'shalom," that you call out to them in peace. Meaning, as we said, even the seven nations of Canaan. So yochel amen moiv kain. You would think the people of amen moiv, which is in the same vicinity, should also be the same. Tamalim says in the pasuk, "Lisidre shlemim, but tevasim, don't seek their peace and their good." Moreover, lafishim nemet says in the pasuk, that with you he should dwell in your midst, and it's good for him. Don't hurt, don't afflict him. Can you think the people of Amnon would be the same thing? Tamalim says no, but tevasim, and they're good. It shouldn't be good for them. Now, although we don't seek their peace, but if they come first, waving the white flag, trying to make peace, then we would accept them because the pasuk is only saying it's forbidden to seek it out. But if they come first, then they can make peace with them too. Halacha Zayin, regarding this option of giving them the opportunity of running away, of fleeing, kishatzagan al eil tafsa. So when they wage war on the city to capture it, imakivin leisam abru chesal. You don't surround it from all four sides. Ilam shalosh chesal, rather only from three of its sides. Because amanichem makom labadech, we leave place for the one who's running away. Ulochamish yirsulim halimolta nafshe, and whoever wants to escape with his life, Shnemek says in the pasuk Mamidbar, the yitzpu al midyan. That they laid siege on Midian, Kashativ Hashem as Moshe, like Hashem commanded Moshe. From tradition that we learn that this is how that he was commanded to lay siege with only three of the sides, not all four sides, again, to let them run away. Halacha Ches, now, when there's laying siege, there's a specific prohibition that's mentioned in that context not to destroy a tree. So in Kitzin Ilon and Michael, we don't chop down a fruit tree, Shechutz LaMedina, that's outside of a state which they're laying siege to. We don't even stop a stream of water so that the tree should dry up. Krishna says the pasuk in the Varma explicitly, don't destroy its wood of the tree. And whoever chops down the fruit tree, like it gets lashes. Now, it's not only when they're laying siege, in all places, it's just that would be the norm that it would come up in a wartime to make that the situation would be very dire for the city inhabitants that they don't have their fruit trees. But it's kolakoytze ilan michael derech hashchas. Whoever chops down the fruit tree in the way of destruction, like he gets lashes. What does it mean, destruction? Because avakoytze is nice, so that you could chop down the fruit tree im hayem mazik ilan sachem. If it's not destructive, it's actually productive because it's harming other trees. Or because it's harming others' fields. Or because it's actually the wood of the tree is so valuable for building more than the benefit of its fruits. Because Torah only makes a bit in the way of destruction, but not if it's a way of production. Halacha test. Now, kol ilan srak. However, any barren trees that does not produce fruits, non-fruit trees, mutula katzayisay, that you'll have to chop down, and even if it's not needed. And even a fruit tree, shehiskin, that it got old, and it only produces a very little, minimal amount, it's not really fit to go and put an effort into it, mutula katzayisay, that's also permitted to chop down. Now, how much should the olive tree be producing that it's enough to be considered that it's productive and that you're not allowed to chop it down? It's reva hakav seisim. If it produces just a quarter of a kav of olives, it's already considered prohibited. And the dekel shoyse kav from a palm tree that produces a kav of dates, that also lay katana that you're not allowed to chop down. Halacha yud. Now, v'lo yilun spavad. The truth is, this halacha is not only for trees. And look, kolam shabakelim. Whoever brings vessels, the kadeba godim, tears garments, v'haydas binyan, destroys a building, v'saysim mayin, and he clogs up a spring, u'ma'abed machalas, or he wastes food derech hashchas in the way of destruction, even b'leis hashchas, he violates the negative prohibition of the Torah of not to be destructive. But v'ein aloike elamakas mardis min avreim. Regarding these things, he only gets rabbinic lashes of what he's destroying, because it's not a bona fide negative prohibition. It's a prohibition, but it's not the primary issue that's mentioned in the Torah, therefore he wouldn't get lashes. Halacha Yidalf, continue regarding laying siege to a city, as it applies to Shabbos. Tzarin ala yarish algaim. We can lay siege to a city of Gentiles, shloish yodim kain meshabbos. If it's 3 days before Shabbos, meaning if it's less than 3 days, you're not supposed to start laying siege yet. But more than 3 days before, you could. And now, once you laid siege and you have this war, then you can continue fighting with them every single day, even on Shabbos. And like it says in the pasuk, I read it until you take it to the end. And that's coming to tell you that even if it's on Shabbos, and this bein melchem is mitzvah, bein melchem is reshos, whether it's a mitzvah war or an optional war. But once you started, you fight all the way till the end, even on Shabbos. Halachid Beis continue regarding what's the conduct of the camp of the soldiers during wartime. Now, kishachainen. When the members of the army, when they're resting during wartime, so they could reside in any place, meaning the owner of the property has no right to remove them from his land. Moreover, whoever gets killed in during war, but makam sheyipo, the place that he falls, meaning where he dies, shami kover, that's where he's buried. And kain makam kemes mitzvah, he acquires his place no matter whose land it is, as if he's a what's called a mes mitzvah, someone who dies that's a mitzvah to bury him because there's no one there to bury him, where he could be acquiring his place. Halacha Yud Gimel, and there are certain leniencies. Arba dvarim patur b'machneh, four things that they exempted regarding a camp of soldiers that are going out to fight in wartime. First of all, oichel hadmai, they could eat what's called demai, which is damai. What is this? That's produce that's taken from amart, from ignoramus, ignorant person. We don't know if he properly tithed or not. Now, since the chacham instituted that you have to separate it because of the doubt, but since really most Amaratzim did take of Meisah. It comes that really it's only rabbinic stringency. So the Chum will make a little lenient in these situations of the soldiers that they could eat the demai and they don't have to separate the Meisahs. Second of all, Uptur Merchitz Zidam Betchila, they're exempt from washing the Tilas Zidam, washing their hands before they eat their meal. And Umavin Eitzim Mechamakim, they could bring wood from wherever it is and there's no problem about theft. And Vafilim Atzim Tlum Mevesham, and even if they found the wood was already detached and dried up, which is, that's very precious to the owner because it's obviously the good firewood. We're not particular regarding that, the soldiers in the camp. And they're also exempt from the halacha of making an erubi chatzeres, which joins together, even though biblically it's all considered as a reshus ha-yachid, but rabbinically, since they're different areas, it looks like it could be confused with reshus ha-rabim. So when you have many different courtyards, you have to make a joining of the courtyards with certain sharing the foods and making certain types of structures to make it look like it's all one. Those in the army fighting the war didn't have to make a Rebbe Chatzeres. Rather, they could carry from one tent to another tent, from one hut to another hut. But as long as you surrounded the whole camp, with a partition that's 10 tefachim high, that it should be a private domain. Like we explained the laws of Shabbos and Perek Tzayin Halacha Aleph, but as was explained, and that's because you're going to have the structure part, even though you don't have the shearing of the food. And a partition cannot be less than 10 tefachim high. Now, just like they're exempt from these four halachas on their way fighting a war, they're exempt from these things also on their way back. Because on the way back, they're actually still in danger because of the other army that might chase them when they're on their way back. So therefore, they're still considered as if they're in still wartime, and hence they'll still have those leniencies on their way back too. Now, va'asli panis patecha machnes, it's forbidden for one to relieve himself in the camp, or on the surface of the field, wherever a person is. Rather, it's a pasuk commandment, sakan sham derech miyuchedes lipanisba. A person should prepare for himself a designated path, a special place to relieve himself over there. Shemek says in the pasuk, v'yoti lecha michutz lamachne, that there should be a hand for you over there, which hand really means makam, a place. You should have a place for you out of the camp, and that's where you go and you relieve yourself. Halachat as well. V'chei mitzvah say, so to the pasuk commandment, li'is yosti l'chol echad ve'echad, that every single soldier should have a type of a shovel that's tuluyim klei mechamtoi, that's hanging with his weapons. V'yetze ba'is ha'derech v'yachba ba'an, then he'll go out on that path, and he'll dig over there, v'yipana, relieve himself, v'yichas and cover it. Shemek says in the pasuk, v'yosti t'ilcha alazay necha ba'goymer, that you should have the shovel together with your weapons, so that you have that when you relieve yourself. Because, and that's Uvein Sheish Imam Ar, and sometimes they would have the holy ark that would go out with them in war, whether the arm was with them, which definitely you have to keep it holy. Uvein Sheish Imam Ar, whether the arm was not with them, Kachim Eisim Taman, this is how they always did. Shemek says in the Basik, Bohoye Machanecha Kadosh, your camp should be holy, which is when there's excrement, when there's waste matter, it's not considered a dignified area, and therefore one has to make sure it's always holy, and therefore when they would relieve themselves, they would do it in a area off, and they would have these tools ready to go ahead and cover it so that it doesn't make the holy area foul.